This is Mornings with Kale in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
I know, I didn't send you a card. My bad. But yesterday, indeed, Sunday, August 1st, happy August to you, was the 145th anniversary of our state, better known as a Colorado Day. 607 now, 1310, KFKA, 1310, KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. By the way, did you know that Colorado is called the Centennial State for a reason? Yep. That's because it became a state in 1876. This was 100 years, count them, after the signing of the Declaration of Independence. So today, well, it's a gift that keeps on giving. Today, August 2nd, all 42 Colorado state parks, not national parks, but state parks, are waiving their entrance fees to celebrate. And actually, this has been a state tradition on the first Monday of August for quite some time. You had Travis Duncan, who is statewide public information officer for CPW, saying with free admission on August 2nd, make sure if you're taking advantage of this to still adhere to the rules of leave no trace and any restrictions, of course, that might be in the area. However, all active military and veterans will get free state park admission throughout the month of August for Military Appreciation Month. And if you want a list of all those Colorado state parks, just jump online and head to the CPW website. So happy birthday to Colorado. Well deserved, well earned. And hope you take advantage. But getting to and fro some of those parts might be a bit of a challenge, though, as I-70 through Glenwood Canyon will remain closed indefinitely after extreme damage from heavy rain and flooding, debris flows. Well, you had CDOT in a release that was picked up by 9 News. CDOT saying that senior operations supervisors and engineering staff described the damage to that viaduct structure through Glenwood Canyon as, quote, unlike anything they had ever seen before. Now, crews continue, weather permitting, to assess damage, and they continue to clear debris and mud flow. I mean, oh my gosh, to call them boulders. I mean, did you see some of the damage as this mudslide came down? I mean, they're not boulders. These are ginormous rocks and trees and mud. And yeah, Rudy, you're absolutely right. It's a nightmare, Rudy chiming in this morning. Now, a CDOT spokesperson said there was no estimated time for reopening the interstate, which was initially expected to remain closed through the weekend. Mike Goolsby is CDOT's Region 3 director. Now, he said late Friday there were at least 10 slide areas throughout the canyon, all the way from the no-name rest area, gotta love that name, all the way to Dotsero. Every time I go past that sign, it makes me smile. Now, Goolsby went on to say, size-wise, they vary anywhere from water and small debris that's spread out over a couple of hundred yards or more to actual debris flows of bigger rock, mud, and trees, wait for it, that are anywhere from 20 to 150 feet wide and upward of 10 to 12 feet deep. Needless to say, as a direct result, I-70 is closed between exits 87, that's West Rifle, and 133. That, of course, is Dotsero. CDOT said they would continue to assess the situation to see what cleanup is needed. A whole lot of it, CDOT. An incredible amount of cleanup, not on aisle 5, but throughout the Glenwood Canyon is needed. But they're taking a look at that as we speak before they'll even consider reopening that road. Now, as you know, the Greeley Creek burn scar or the Grizzly Creek burn scar, excuse me, is located right near that section of highway. Burn scars are especially vulnerable to flash flooding, as we have learned right here in northern Colorado, due to the lack of vegetation to absorb moisture. As a result, those flood-driven mudslides are common near or even over, in this particular situation, the interstate. Now, if you are headed in that direction, well, I don't know, you might want to rethink those plans unless absolutely necessary, because you have no choice but to use this so-called northern alternate route, and that's going to add an extra 2.5 to 3 hours of travel time to your drive. Now, CDOT recommends that truck drivers planning to travel through Colorado take I-80 through Wyoming and avoid this area entirely. But once again, speaking of roads, lots of things going on, and we have taken the time numerous times to talk with Jared Feil, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager, about this closure, Colorado 56 over I-25 for approximately 140 days, not 140 nights, but 140 days, competition going on to see if they can beat that deadline, a friendly competition between crews at CDOT to see if they can beat that deadline. But that started late last night, well, about 9 p.m. You had CDOT temporarily closing Weld County Road 44, that Colorado Highway 56 bridge over I-25, again, for up to 140 days. This is part of the I-25 North Express Lanes project between Berthoud and Johnstown. Now, shortly after Colorado 56 is closed over I-25, the northbound I-25 on and off ramps at 56 will also close for a period, writes Jared Feil in a release from CDOT, not to exceed 70 days. The southbound I-25 on and off ramps at 56 will remain open with minor, he says, intermittent night and weekend closures during this 140-day or so closure, of course, weather-dependent as always. Now, while the roadway is closed, construction crews will flip that interchange so that I-25 will run over 56 instead of under it, as it does currently. Without the closure, flipping the interchange wouldn't be possible. The new configuration will actually correct those unsafe curves to assist with a safer travel through the area while improving interstate traffic flow. Again, according to Jared Feil, CDOT Region 4 Communications Manager, closing I-25 will not be necessary to facilitate this work. And when completed, that interchange will also include two new roundabouts. Oh, yay. Roundabouts at the northbound and southbound ramps. Not a fan of roundabouts. Not because they don't work. It's just simply because people don't know how to use them. Well, not everybody, but some. And if you ever had that experience, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I don't know. Maybe they should add something. Maybe we all need a remedial course in driver's ed in roundabout navigation. But that's just me. Anyway, the carpool lot will be relocated from that southeast quadrant to the northeast of the interchange. The interchange is expected to be completed in summer, fall of 2022. So just things to be aware of as you make your way out and about to get your week underway. 6:15 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310KFKA.com, Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gale from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. This time check sponsored by the Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, bringing you an absolutely hilarious, amazing production of Shrek the Musical, taking center stage through August 22nd. So for tickets and show information, just jump online, visit coloradocandlelight.com. Candlelight Dinner Playhouse in Johnstown, Broadway in your backyard.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA, The Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m. today's headlines, podcasts of Mornings with Gail and more, and a schedule of upcoming sports broadcasts, find them at 1310kfka.com.
So are you glued to the Olympics? If so, you're likely in the minority rather than in the majority as well. Ratings, when you compare them, for example, to the Rio de Janeiro Olympics, have pretty much tanked. But it was funny having a conversation with my brother yesterday, and apparently he got himself into a little bit of hot water with his fiance because he said, "Hey, is there anything wrong with me being glued to women's volleyball?" And I said, "Well, it depends on your motivation there. I don't think you're watching for the women's athletic prowess," which he readily admitted to. He says, "Well, but that's not a bad thing, is it?" And I said, "Well, I suppose from a ratings perspective, I wouldn't broadcast that if I were you. But, Ray, I did it for you." You're welcome. 624 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com. Northern Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, via the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. All right, Ryan Kelly doing a great job, as always, at the con, behind the glass, as my musical maestro and my technical producer extraordinaire. Are you watching the Olympics?
No way.
Have you seen one single solitary event?
No.
That would be negatory, big shooter. Now, is that a choice, or do you just have better things to do?
I've never been someone that's like, let me go put on the Olympics. You know, I've just never really been that type of person. So, yeah, I guess I've better things to do. I'm just too busy.
There you go. No, and I understand that totally. I tried to watch. I did make it through the qualifiers for the women's gymnastics team and then watched Simone Biles, and my heart goes out to her. Hey, but here's some good news. If you are a devotee of the Olympics, Simone Biles might be down, but she's not out. Now, you had Jade Carey redeeming herself from a disappointing performance in the vault final to come back the next day at the Tokyo Games and win gold on the floor exercise. But Simone Biles, obviously the headliner of the Tokyo Olympics for Team USA, yeah, she announced after taking gold, after her teammate did take gold on the floor exercise, she announced that she isn't quite done yet. I don't know, just an observation here, but we spent some time talking about this, that she suffered from this. I would call it, now she said it isn't stress-induced, but I have to wonder, I mean, expectations were so high, to which you might say, well, you're an Olympian, what do you expect? But again, the expectations that were put on her shoulders were so high that I believe it's a neurological condition, something called the twisties. And she said, basically, as a result of the twisties, and, you know, I mean, she defies gravity and physics, as all those gymnasts do. I mean, how they do what they do, I will never know. I can't even stand up on a balance beam, let alone do flips and jumps and twisting dismounts. But apparently these twisties, as we discussed, essentially affect your perception of time and space. And think about it. If you are twirling around midair and you have no idea where you are, oh, and then your body essentially is going squirrel and doing twisties that you didn't expect to do. Well, let's just say the consequences of not sticking that dismount could be less than ideal. In fact, they could be deadly. So, as you're aware, Simone Biles did withdraw from most of her events at the Olympics because of mental health issues. If I were her, I would step away from social media because some of the garbage that is coming out of people, I mean, the name calling and the shunning of Simone Biles, who said, hey, I took an assessment here. This is not safe. So I'm going to step away from competition. And a lot of the negativity that is just being spewed on social media, attacking her for making a decision to ensure not only her overall health, but her mental health, is frankly despicable. It's disgusting. This from people, I can't help but assume, can't even get off the couch to touch their toes. Now, we did spend some time talking with Brady Hall, host of the Hall Show, on Friday. We were talking about a variety of topics, and this came up. And he made what I thought was such an excellent point. How long have we been talking about the importance of removing the stigma of mental health issues so that people are more comfortable? Just like when you, okay, let's say you break your leg or you get an infection or you're not feeling good or whatever the case may be. There's no harm, no foul in going to the doctor. There's no stigma associated there. But unfortunately, mental health, well, that's a different animal entirely. We've long been working with our friends from North Range Behavioral Health to flip that script. But as Brady Hall so cogently said on Friday, well, you know, the mantra now is, let's talk about mental health. Let's do something about mental health. Oh, but apparently not now, not if you're Simone Biles, and not if you're an Olympic competitor. Well, which kind of undermines the entire conversation, wouldn't you agree? But Simone Biles saying, I think I'm going to give it another shot, announcing after, indeed, she did withdraw from most of her events at the Olympics, that she will compete in the balance beam final on Tuesday. This would be her final possible event in Tokyo. Her decision was announced by USA Gymnastics on Monday. Again, Biles, struggling from those twisties, said the reason she withdrew was because she couldn't tell up from down. So competing on Tuesday, that gives her a chance to win a gold at an Olympics where, well, she was the undeniable powerhouse. She had been expected to dominate. And if she does win the event, it would also be a redemption for her performance on the balance beam final at the 2016 Games. By the way, she has a skill on the balance beam named after her, aptly named, the Biles. It's a dismount. It's a double twisting, double back somersault. No, thank you. If I even tried that, it would be one and done. Now, though she is considering retirement, she has hinted that she might return as a vault specialist at the 2024 Games in Paris to honor her French coaches. But life outside of gymnastics indeed is calling, and Tuesday's performance might well be her fair well, bow. Best of luck to Simone Biles. 6:31 now, 1310 KFKA.
What's happening in your own backyard? Listen to NoCo Now with Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Carr of Fat Guys at the Movies here. Don't forget to listen to my show every Saturday on KFKA. Now back to Mornings with Gail.
So, is that the new push as Complete Colorado writes that basically Governor Jared Polis, with his move ordering unvaccinated state employees to get tested regularly and wear masks, but as of this point, not mandating a COVID-19 vaccine, is he essentially testing them into submission? And is that an effective strategy? 6:39 now, 1310 KFKA, 1310 KFKA.com, Northern Colorado. Colorado's Voice, Mornings with Gail, from the Auto Collision Specialist Studio. Subject of my Facebook question du jour, will this much-bandied-about specter, one that I have to admit does send shivers down my spine. How about you? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text this morning or reply to my Facebook question. But vaccine mandates are being talked about with varying degrees of are they going to do it? Are they not going to do it? Is it going to come down from the federal government? What about the state of Colorado? If they were to implement a COVID-19 vaccine mandate, well, it only make people who are reluctant or hesitant for whatever reason, not judging here, to get a COVID-19 vaccine, will it only cause them to auger in to that position even more? Will they resist even more? I think we all know the answer to that, but you tell me. 970-353-1310. So, yeah, in recent weeks, you've had calls for vaccine mandates becoming increasingly frequent, to wit, in a Washington Post column headlined, "Stop Pleading with the Anti-Vaxxers and Start Mandating Vaccinations." Okay, I do take issue with this propensity to just lump everyone who doesn't want to get, for whatever reason, a COVID-19 vaccine into anti-vaxxer category, because there are many reasons, and you know them. If you have made that choice, seems to me we're still America, at least for the time being, and we still have freedom of choice. And just because perhaps you have underlying medical conditions, maybe you don't want to get the vaccine because of religious convictions, whatever the case may be, it doesn't make you a hair on fire, conspiracy theory, anti-vaxxer, because that's the way the left is painting anyone who is reluctant or hesitant to get the COVID-19 vaccine. So, Washington Post Max Boot implored President Biden to stop making reasonable appeals to those who will not listen to reason. Oh, I see. We're irrational. We're irrational. We're unreasonable. Those of us who have opted not to get a COVID-19 vaccine. Former Health and Human Secretary Kathleen Sebelius said, oh, we're going to tiptoe around mandates, and said she's kind of over that. Well, bully for you. A coalition of medical professional organizations, including the American Medical Association, has asked for all healthcare and long-term care employers to require, and we're seeing this happening, to require their employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. Remember, it was just earlier last week that locally you had UC Health and Denver Health announcing they will require their staff to get vaccinated by this fall. This, as you had Governor Jared Polis announcing Friday, that state employees who remain unvaccinated against COVID-19 will be required to get tested twice a week and continue wearing masks in indoor public areas. That's a whole other topic of conversation as well. But he stopped short of issuing a mandate that workers get immunized. And it's important to make that point at this point in time. But will his take on that change? Well, it remains to be seen. So you've got this top-down push to get those who are vaccine-reluctant, vaccine-hesitant, to get vaccinated. The White House and Department of Education partnered with colleges and universities on a COVID-19 college vaccine challenge. Recently, the Department of Veterans Affairs became the first federal agency to mandate vaccinations for more than 100,000 of its employees. And once again, Biden just recently announced that civilian federal workers must be vaccinated or submit to regular coronavirus testing. But you need to remember, And I find this fascinating as I'm working through an opinion piece out of the Washington Post. The Washington Post, imagine that. Actually, well, let's say pandering in reality, saying this rhetoric and all these efforts, if they do indeed lead to a de facto national vaccine mandate, it's going to backfire and badly. Because Americans, being lovers of liberty and freedom, whatever happened to my body, my choice? Oh, I guess that only applies to a very specific and narrow narrative. But we resist being told what to put into our bodies. And aren't you feeling a little bit of that resistance just bubbling up within you, whether you've been vaccinated or not? And how will that affect? We've talked at great length about what is the politician's end game? Getting reelected. So when you have the politicians or any variety of government institutions coming out and putting the hammer down, telling us to get vaccinated, well, they might want to think twice about that, because it could affect their reelection chances. You already had the president of the Federal Law Enforcement Officers Association saying there'll be a lot of pushback from members of his organization against the federal employee mandate. Now, I go to a recent Economist YouGov poll. 29% of Republicans say they won't get vaccinated, compared to just 4% of Democrats. Of course, we've got to make everything partisan in nature, right? But, you know, the stats are what they are. But that doesn't tell the whole story. In mid-June, this according to the Kaiser Family Foundation, when parents of kids ages 12 and older, this is the youngest group, again, authorized for vaccination, were asked by Kaiser Family if they would get their children vaccinated, 18% said, yeah, we're going to take a wait-and-see approach on this. We'll get back to you on that. 10% said they would if required, and 25% said definitely not. And according to 538's Jeffrey Skelly, unvaccinated Americans tend to be younger. Wow, that kind of blows up that old entrenched conservative faction that is refusing to get vaccinated, right? Unvaccinated Americans tend to be younger, and they are more likely to be a person of color. The situation we're in is not just because of politics, although come on now. Haven't politics and the weaponization, not to mention all the misinformation and disinformation that we continue to receive from the likes of the CDC, whose credibility is, well, kind of blown to smithereens, kind of like the World Health Organization. Didn't that play into all of this from the get-go? Oh, and you remember, it was then-candidate Kamala Harris who said, referencing the vaccine, this coming out of the Trump administration and Operation Warp Speed, saying, oh, yeah, I would definitely get the vaccine, but not if President Trump tells me to get one. Well, it seems to me that Democrats, they need to take some responsibility as well, because there's no shortage of it to go around on all sides of the political equation as to why so many are reluctant to get the vaccine. So, you tell me, if a federal vaccine mandate, if a state vaccine mandate is put into effect, is it going to turn the tide with the number of Coloradans getting vaccinated? I believe at last check, let's see, 62% of eligible Coloradans are fully vaccinated. This is according to State Department health data. Will it turn this around, or will we only further resist vaccination efforts. Found it ironic. You remember the Colorado comeback cash push in which, don't call it a lottery, no, it was a sweepstakes in which five very lucky Coloradans received $1 million in this drawing as a result of being vaccinated. But here's what I found absolutely fascinating. The fact that during this time frame of Colorado comeback cash, vaccinations across the state dropped 68%. Is correlation causation? I don't know. Just throwing it out there for your consideration. But again, very curious in your thoughts. Because think about it this way. A democracy, a representative republic, as the case may be, shouldn't we be using democratic means? Instead of demonizing people who aren't getting the vaccines, instead of sending a friendly government employee armed with flyers and pamphlets and information sheets and, oh yes, a truck that has syringes full of Pfizer or Moderna or J&J vaccines to your door, instead of using heavy-handed tactics, or I might add, even carrots, shouldn't we try to avoid stigmatizing those and shaming and blaming those who might have very good reasons for not wanting to get the COVID-19 jab? Because instead of normalizing the vaccine, if you are simply attacking people for not getting it, well, isn't that going to only drive folks away even more? You tell me this morning. 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. By the way, if you're new to our texting family, welcome on in. We have a new number for you. And the first time you use it, just text a KFKA to 970-478-1301. And then, yes, you too can text away to your heart's content. 652 now, 1310 KFKA.
Hear Mornings with Gail, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Kevin Carr of Fat Guys at the Movies here. Don't forget to listen to my show every Saturday on KFKA. Now back to Mornings with Gail.
So I go back to my question with that specter of vaccine mandates hanging over us. The more that they shun, that they insult, that they basically depersonalize and attack those who have elected not to get the COVID-19 virus, and by they I mean politicians of all stripes, are they actually increasing the chances that their many and varied attempts to get more and more people vaccinated are only going to backfire? Can you tell me, in any circumstance, is there any situation that you can think of when name-calling has ever changed hearts and minds? It's absolutely ridiculous. But unfortunately, that seems increasingly to be the way it's going. Consider USA Today columnist Tom Nichols. He referred to those who do not want to get the COVID-19 vaccine, not as anti-vaxxers, but as cynical and obstinate children who should be shunned until they grow up. Oh, they must be punished. But does he know what the backstories are of whom he refers to as being cynical and obstinate children? And does he realize that wielding a big stick in this particular scenario is not the most effective messaging tool? What am I missing here? 970-353-1310. Drop me a text on our 1310 KFKA text line. 657 now, 1310 KFKA.
Want the whole sports story in Northern Colorado, the state and the country? Tune into The Hull Show, weekdays noon to 2 and 1310 KFKA. Pro Design Countertop Specialist presents 13 Days, 13 Teams. Preps football training camp coverage begins in August, only in Northern Colorado's voice, 1310 KFKA.
Coming up in our local news roundup, the Evans Police will be hosting a 9-week Citizens Police Academy starting in September in a new home for the City of Greeley Public Works offices. KFKA Greeley, closing in on 7 o'clock.